Good evening. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia. And we'd like to welcome you to Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church. Tonight I'm going to be speaking to you about a message entitled Greater Works Than Jesus. I'm going to be speaking from a very familiar passage to many, John chapter 14. And I'd like you to follow along as I read the scriptures. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffereth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, Father, tonight as we come to this word, Lord, this is a message that speaks to the Christian church today. It's a message that speaks to every child of God, to all of those who have repented of their sin and placed their faith and trust in the blood-bought cross of Jesus Christ, those who have confessed their sin, those who have washed themselves in your precious blood, Lord, help them to hear tonight. As Jesus often prayed, he who has an ear, let him hear, so we pray tonight. And Lord, may your word and your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When Dr. Clyde Cook was at SeaWorld, he noticed there were some trained parrots who had been taught to roller skate. Little roller skates were strapped to their claws, and they were skating on the sidewalk in different places throughout SeaWorld. Dr. Cook said, You know, I watched those little parrots. I could tell that they could do it, but their heart just wasn't in it. Now, I think that Jesus might say that about a lot of Christians today. I know they can do it, but their heart just isn't in it. Can I ask you tonight, and I'm going to challenge you tonight to think about this, is your heart in it when it comes to living a Christian life? I want to direct your attention again to something that Jesus said here in our text, John 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Have you ever really stopped to consider what Jesus is telling us in this verse? Because the message of God is clear. God has said that we will do greater works than Jesus. Do you believe that? Perhaps you're wondering how, especially when we stop to consider all the miracles and all the works our Lord did. Let's face it, healing the sick, raising the dead, stilling the storms, and defeating demons is pretty impressive stuff. So how can we possibly do greater works than those? Well, I think it begins, first of all, by understanding that life, it really isn't about us. I know that's contrary to what most folks have been taught growing up. It flies in the face of this modern world and modern thinking that teaches us that the one with the most toys wins. It flies in the face of our modern culture that says, seek personal pleasure at all costs because it's all about you. We all know the slogan, look out for number one. And we have become a culture, a society of people here in the United States of America who are very good at doing that. We are looking out for number one. We are seeking our own pleasures. We are only concerned about us. And yet I'm reminded of Jesus' warning about this when he said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now our Lord said that. Our Lord asked the question. And the point of the question is to remind us that life is not about us. And so if life is not about us, what is life about? How does it help us understand that we are to do greater works than Jesus? Again, our mission in life should not be to serve ourselves. Rather, our primary ministry in the world is to be conduits through which Jesus Christ continues to perform His miracles, and if that is to happen, then the life of Jesus Christ must be being lived out in each and every Christian. We have to be living both a relevant life and a yielded life, because we cannot perform the will of God for our lives if our heart is not in it. To do what God desires to do through us means we must live a submitted, a yielded life, one that is under the Holy Spirit's control. And there is a great example from history that can help us here. After World War II, Berlin, the capital of Germany and headquarters of Hitler's Third Reich, was overseen by four Allied nations that had united to defeat Hitler: America, Britain, France, and the former Soviet Union. However, growing political differences between the Soviets and the three Allied nations caused the city of Berlin, as well as Germany itself, to be divided into East and West. The East was known as the German Democratic Republic, and the West as the Federal Republic of Germany. The West prospered under capitalism, and the East suffered under Soviet oppression. And soon, many in the East began immigrating to the West. But in 1961, to stop the human and economic drain from East Berlin, the Soviet government began building the infamous Berlin Wall. That wall divided the city both physically and ideologically. So much so that in 1953, the East German city of Leipzig was the site of violent protest against the communists. These protests were crushed, however, by communist forces. Violence accomplished nothing when it came to trying to gain freedom in East Germany. But in 1989, people in Leipzig tried a different approach. What became known as the Monday demonstrations began with prayers for peace in the historic Nikolai Church. This church was located in the heart of Leipzig. These Monday prayer meetings grew into peaceful candlelight marches of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people until they eventually reached 500,000 strong. And those in Leipzig were joined by 1 million more in Berlin, until finally prayers for peace accomplished what violence had failed to do, because in November of 1989, the Berlin Wall was taken down. The hated symbol of the ideological Iron Curtain yielded to the power of prayer. And for the first time in decades, the people of East Berlin tasted freedom. A movement that was begun by Pastor Christian Führer of the Nikolai Church, with people on their knees, found its ultimate expression in the feet of millions of marchers seeking freedom in the streets. Those who prayed down the Berlin Wall must have taken Jesus' very words here in John chapter 14 very seriously. What did Jesus mean by saying that his disciples on their knees would do greater works than he had done? What could possibly be greater than healing the sick, raising the dead, stilling the storms, and defeating demons? As I already stated, those are some pretty impressive works. So how can you and I possibly do greater works? Well, allow me to share with you, first of all, how that's possible. First, it's firmly embracing the fact that life is not about you. It's not about me. Second, we will do greater works because the reach of our ministry is greater. The land of Israel today comprises about 8,000 square miles. During the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he did not even cover all of the land. His ministry was confined primarily to Jerusalem and Judea in the south and Galilee in the north. Thus, the number of people who could have possibly been touched by his ministry numbered only in the thousands. Compare that to the land area of the entire world today. This land area of the entire world comprises roughly 57.5 million square miles. That means that Jesus' followers, the followers of Jesus today, have covered a land area thousands of times larger than Jesus himself covered. And the number of people his disciples have touched in the intervening 2,000 and some odd years now has been in the billions. So who has the greater ministry in terms of geographic outreach? Martin Luther wrote concerning this, "For Christ took but a little corner for himself to preach and to work miracles in but a little time. Whereas the apostles and their followers have spread themselves through the whole world." The 11 disciples whom Jesus entrusted with his gospel took it as far in their lifetimes as their legs could carry them. And the people they trained took it even further, because it took less than 300 years for the Roman Empire to become officially Christian. So it is hard to dispute the notion that Jesus working through his church has had a greater reach than he had during his personal 3-year ministry in Palestine. His promise to his disciples was, if we seek to continue the works he began, we can ask anything in his name and he will do it. Friend, do you realize that with the Holy Spirit working in and through the church, there is absolutely no limit to what can be accomplished for God's kingdom? But again, that requires something of us. It requires our hearts to be in it. Because if our heart is not in it, we can quench and grieve the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But if our heart is in it, then the possibilities are limitless. Because God has promised that he would do abundantly more than we could ever ask, hope, or think. Now remember, life isn't about us, and the reach of our ministry is greater. And then there's a third thing. We will do greater works because the results of our ministry are greater. It's not just that the reach of the gospel has been greater because of the church. The results of the preaching of the gospel have been greater as well. Friends, let's look again at Jesus' miracles. We all know that Jesus was able to raise the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But have you ever stopped to consider that Lazarus had to die again? We could say the same about all the miracles our Lord performed when it came to those he physically healed. They all ultimately died. Even today, people are running around everywhere looking for miracles, signs, and wonders, but few stop to consider the purpose, the true purpose of Jesus' miracles. The purpose of our Lord's miracles was to validate a spiritual message in his ministry as the promised Jewish Messiah. That is not the primary concern of the church today. The primary ministry of the church today is not to perform physical miracles. Rather, we are to be performing spiritual miracles. We are to have our heart in it so that Jesus can transform his spiritual and perform his spiritual miracles through us. Now, it is wonderful for a man's eyes to be open so that he can see physically. But it's even more wonderful for a man to see and understand spiritually. It's wonderful to see people healed physically, but it's more important to see people healed spiritually. It's a miracle for a deaf man to get his hearing back, but the greater miracle is that he can now hear and understand the gospel. And while a dead man brought back to life might praise God for a few more years, a spiritually dead man brought back to life will praise God for eternity. Why do so many seem to pray for all things physical instead of for those things that are spiritual? Could it be because we have our hearts in the wrong place? Beyond that, which carries the greater benefit, spiritual or physical miracles? Do you understand that in the accounting system of God, while physical, temporal results are great, spiritual, eternal results are even greater? Do we really and truly grasp that? Jesus promised his disciples that they would do spiritual works that exceeded his own in their geographic reach and their eternal results. Now, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, friend, you need to know that Jesus wants to use you. But in order for him to use you, you have to have your heart in it. You've got to be willing to be living a yielded life to him. You've got to desire the things that he desires, and the things that Jesus desires are not what our world desires. And so we are faced with a choice. What will we give our heart to? Will we put our hearts in the place Jesus wants them? Or will we give our heart to something else? Jesus said, John 14:14, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." What does he mean by that? Will he give us whatever we ask for? No. Fortunately, we cannot have whatever we want. And I say fortunately because if we could have whatever we wanted, we'd destroy ourselves with our wants. We see that happening in our world today. So what did Jesus mean? Jesus meant that his prayers for us, and he showed us by example, his heart was in it. He was living a yielded life to the Father because he always prayed for the Father's will to be done. And he did it in the most trying circumstances of life. The point is, his heart was in it. Is your heart in it? Are you yielded to the Father? Will you allow his work and his will to be done in you?